flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I feel like
the game's midday host, Andy
Joey Snell.
Combines 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds. To the best of our knowledge.
Like Maple. It's violent. Like the Hammer People.
I mean, they recorded a couple of those albums with Charles Manson murder.
Because he likes to cause trouble.
That's the kind of vibe they had. That's Joe's vibe.
Joe.
I feel like. Hey, what's up, Joe?
I don't know if I was allowed to have a Nine Inch Nails album when they were popular. Although I did have them. Eventually, they made their way onto my pod, my playlist somehow. Once I got the digital music, but yeah, you know the lead singer for Nine Inch Nails did the soundtrack to that Facebook movie. That was pretty good. Kind of
oh, that's right.
The
Social Network.
Trent Reznor? I know that.
Yeah, Trent Reznor is his name.
Yeah. He won an Oscar for it, actually, for that. Anyway.
All right, JP. So Tuesday, as a professional as you are, your updates, they were very, very crisp. Did you not get in the net Monday night after Ohio State won? Like, I was like, this is so professional.
You didn't sound hungover at all.
At all.
Yeah, I was not hungover, guys. You know, that's just how I was taking it in. I was just, you know, it was just intense. It was getting very stressful in that second half. You know, I thought it was going to be one of those days I could sit back and relax and enjoy the second half, but then I was getting really, really dark memories of my favorite teams blowing leads in the past, whether that be Ohio State or some other maybe more local to here. And that's how it felt, but then obviously Ohio State, you know, takes it away in the end, so... man, it was a cathartic feeling that night, for sure. And I was just joking with Bo when I was just before coming on, jumping on with you guys, that, you know, it'd be funny to hear like a montage of myself, like building up from 6 weeks ago where I was absolutely furious. I'll never forget it, where I was sitting in my car in Flower Branch talking to you guys after that Ohio State Michigan game. I couldn't have been more mad. And now I can say no one deserves it more than Ryan Day.
Okay, because that was going to be my question, because you were ready to fire him into the sun about a month and a half ago, which every Ohio State fan seemingly was. He's good now, or he's like temporarily good? Is this a forever good, or
he's he can keep his job. I no longer am advocating for his firing like I think I was at the time. And I think I said, I think one of you guys brought up, like, well, what if he wins the national championship? And I was like, I was literally laughing at the notion that could happen because just of how badly that game against Michigan was mismanaged. But I don't know, guys. Like, it still irks me that, you know, so at Ohio State, the players get a pair of golden pants. It's like a necklace, basically. It's like a little, what do you call those things that, like, attach to a bracelet or a necklace, but
yeah.
A
charm.
So they get charm. So they get these little golden pants for beating Michigan, and it's crazy that there is a set of seniors on this Ohio State football team that had never won a pair of gold pants. And there's you know, in previous years, you know, in the Urban Meyer era, there's players who have 5 gold pants because they're redshirt too. They, you know, they won them every single year, and it's just crazy to me that it's been so long since Ohio State has beaten Michigan, which does still irk me. But I'm willing to live with it because of what happened on Tuesday.
Do you think if you ask Jack Sawyer or put yourself in those shoes, whatever, you get 0 golden pants in your Ohio State tenure, but you get 1 national championship?
Man, that would be a great question to ask him because, you know, people, Ohio State players take those golden pants very seriously. They will even, you know, maybe exchange them for
tattoos.
For, you know, tattoos and whatnot. But,
yeah, that's good very, for a couple very... tattoos back in the day.
That's right, that's right. But seriously, like, I mean, beating Michigan is obviously, like, you know, that's what kind of makes you an Ohio State legend. But Jack Sawyer kind of became a legend in himself because of what he did in that Texas game at the end of it to seal it and just being what he was to this Ohio State team this year. He's going to be thought of absolutely positively, as well as all of these Ohio State players who won a national championship, and rightly so. But no, I mean, I bet you it will still irk him, you know, come the end of his career that he's never beat Michigan, and he won't get another opportunity to do it. You know, it's over.
Yeah,
it's over.
Hey, JP, we haven't talked to you since, but what'd you think of the hire of the DC for the Falcons?
Yeah, you know, there was all sorts of consternation that flared up immediately that I kind of was expecting because of just hearing, you know, the scuttlebutt of, like, how fans and, you know, other people, pundits, were thinking about what this hire could be for the Falcons. And I think it's a fine hire. And I was telling this to Abe earlier this week, Abe Gordon, on Monday, which was that, you know, Jeff Ulbrich coming back to Atlanta. Yeah, you know, Jeff Ulbrich coming back to Atlanta, you know, you could make an argument that there's, like, so many positives to it. If it's any other coach coming back to, you know, a previous staff where it's like, oh, he's got familiarity with the head coach, he's got familiarity, like, intimate familiarity with the organization, all these things are typically spun as positives. But when it comes to the Falcons, because they haven't had success in so long, it feels like a negative to have those ties to, you know, but Jeff Ulbrich has shown success when he's been another Southie, and even, you know, when he was with Atlanta. So I ultimately don't think a lot of that holds water. I think it's just kind of, you know, gut level feeling that people have when these kinds of decisions are made. But ultimately, I think he'll be a fine defensive coordinator. But ultimately, I don't think he's going to be any better or any worse than what this defensive roster is. And that's kind of the big question mark for that Falcons fans are going to be having going into next year is, you know, who are going to be the playmakers on this defense? Because, you know, some of the veterans that you signed last year didn't really perform. Obviously, you have guys like Jesse Bates and A.J. Terrell who you're comfortable with. But, you know, can you rely on Grady Jarrett to be the guy that he's been in the past as he, you know, enters into the final kind of years of his career? If he's on the team, I think he will be. But, you know, there's lots of questions for what Jeff Ulbrich is going to be able to do with these defensive players. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why it wasn't such an easy position to fill, because I imagine that the top defensive coordinators were probably finding maybe like smoother paths with other defenses that they could take over around the NFL. I think it's going to be more of a, you know, a project for this Atlanta defense.
Yeah, I mean, that was part of the conversation before they made the hire was, what's the pitch?
Yep.
I mean, how do you sell a guy, especially a veteran who's going to have options with different organizations? What's the pitch? I mean, you come here, you see what the roster is. You see, to me, you see the priority that the organization has put on that side of the ball historically. Like, do I really believe, all right, you're going to hire me, and now all of a sudden we're going to start drafting and signing players on defense, or is it going to be the same thing that it was? So that's my question with Jeff Ulbrich. Like, can he come in here and convince them to start in the first round using draft picks on guys on defense?
Right, right. And obviously it's not something they've shown. And I think it's that, Andy, and I think it's also, you know, what can he do? What defensive coordinator can we get in? I'm just saying, like, from the Falcons' perspective, from Terry Fontenot's perspective and Raheem Morris, what defensive coordinator can we get in that's going to make the most out of the defensive players that we have drafted? Obviously, we haven't taken any defensive players with our premium, you know, first-round picks over the last several years. But last year, outside of that first pick, I mean, it was a pretty heavy defensive investment. And obviously, they lost Braylon Trice for the year, but... Yeah, but how do you get the most out of not even just Rook Arorro? Personally, I think Rook, like with what he showed last year when he got to play, I thought was really promising. People are really down on him because he just wasn't getting that many reps. But I kind of put that down to the DC and the defensive line coach who are kind of not maintaining the reps maybe as they should have. But, you know, it's even the Brandon Dorlises, the J.D. Bertrands. Like, how do you get the most out of those players as well? Because ultimately, if this Falcons team wants to have success, it's not just the first and second round players that you need, you know, to be providing value for you. It's those third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounders. You know, can DeMarco Helens, is he going to be a starting safety for this team? Potentially, you know, maybe Jeff Ulbrich can, you know, help make that work. And if he can, then that's a huge boost for a team that needs all the help it can get on that side of the ball.
Hey, JP, we're up here, you know, with Atlanta United. We had Garth on. He was talking about the DPs and how important it might ramp up this weekend. Do you see them? Because I know there's names out there. But I know, and we love us some Miggy. Of the guys who are out there, who do you think is a possibility for them to get?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious right now who the target is, which is Emmanuel Latte-Lass from Middlesbrough. He's a striker. I think we've talked about him before. I'm actually headed up to Atlanta United just after this phone call. But yeah, you know, I think Garth is very much pointing toward, you know, that signing and the signing of Miguel Almiron when he talks about, you know, we're going to sign a forward or we're going to sign attacking players. We're going to sign proven winners. I think that proven winner, he's talking about one who's proven himself that he can win, you know, an MLS Cup and be the leading player of that team. And I think everybody in Atlanta, all Atlanta United fans know who that is and believe in what Miguel Almiron can provide for this team. And so I think, I mean, I'm just getting excited for, you know, these next 10 days. I thought it could, there could have potentially at least something could have manifested as to this point. But I have to imagine that with the Miguel Almiron signing, it's probably done. But they're, you know, just doing the digital, the photographs and all that stuff. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a big unveiling for that. So I'm just excited to see how this all unravels over these next 10 days, because when you add that kind of quality into this team, you are looking at, you know, an MLS team that has three very quality, you know, designated players and surrounded by a really formidable supporting cast that Garth Lagerwey has really done a lot of work in kind of trimming the roster around the edges so that he can fit in these quality players to surround the DPs. They're even going to go with a shorter roster because of it, so they don't have to pay as many players, but they can pay the players that they sign more so that they can get that quality. So I think it's really exciting times for Atlanta United, and I just can't wait to see what the next 10 days look like.
I'm going to be annoyed if the announcement happens later today. Like we had Garth Lagerwey sitting right here an hour ago, and obviously we asked him. He wasn't going to tell us unless he had planned on coming to tell us. But, yeah, if they announce at like 2:30 that Miguel Almiron's coming, because Dukes and Bell are going to be here too.
Right.
So, I mean, that could be a part of the deal. But, yeah, I'm going to I guess I'll just be happy that he's coming to Atlanta United. Joe, thank you.
Appreciate you, JP.
Smoking Joe Patrick there, Falcons reporter, Ohio State fan, also Atlanta United reporter. He does it all. And